Well, I'm looking forward to IGBO. Is anyone from the Plantium project going to be going to the FOIS meeting that you know of?
To the which meeting?
FOIS, the Formal Ontology and Information System.
No one that I know of.
Okay, well, I'll be going there. I'm preparing to go there. Otherwise, I'm doing the usual thing.
Yeah, good. So, I don't even have that on my list of upcoming meetings. When is this voice meeting?
It's in July. It happens every 2 years. It's from the point of view of the presentations, it's probably the most technically sophisticated ontology meeting that is not devoted to the computational side. So it's devoted to questions like what relation should we use, or what an object is, or how do ontologies get taught, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think I've seen things come through about that. It's fairly high level,
yeah,
ontology design and engineering.
Yes, but it would be good to have the work of the Plantium represented there at some stage. Maybe when we have some results in 2018.
Yeah, that would be good. It's FOIS?
FOIS, yes. Formal Ontology in Information Systems.
Ah, yes. Here, I should share my screen. This looks like it. So I'm just sharing my screen.
Okay.
Now I can't see the participants. Very good. It looks like Pankaj is just joining us here. Are you on the call, Pankaj? You're not on.
Yes, I am on.
Good. Okay, that is you. Good. Great. Well, let's go ahead and move on with the agenda. Marie said that, you know, one of the main goals of this meeting was to kind of get Elizabeth together with us and you and talk about the possibility of having a meeting after ICBO. Barry, you're coming out for ICBO, right?
Yep. I'll be leaving early-ish on the final day, but I'll be there the day before the meeting starts.
So you'll leave Friday?
Yeah.
So we'll start talking about this now, and we can come back to it, I think, when Elizabeth comes. Pankaj is talking about the possibility of maybe having another workshop like we did in November in conjunction with ICBO.
Yes, I have no real overview of how tight the program is and of how many people are going to be present for the workshops. Do you have registration records for the workshops, Pankaj?
So far, there are 12 registrants, but we have about altogether 67 submissions.
Okay.
And these are the submissions that came on ICBO side. BioCreative have another 10 or 15.
Good. And did you make it clear to people that they would get their submissions published only if they register for the meeting?
Oh, we haven't said that. Do I?
Then you should do that immediately.
Okay.
Because otherwise people will just cheat. They will get their submissions published in your proceedings, but they won't actually come to the meeting.
Ooh, I will send that.
Yeah, so send an email to all the accepted... Well, send an email to all the submitters, actually, just explaining the rule. Everyone knows about this rule, but people still have a tendency to cheat, particularly if you don't specify it.
And I've seen there are,
it. So you need to monitor whether the people whose papers are accepted are in fact registering.
Okay. And have you seen something like that there are multiple submissions from the same lab or the same group, but only one person presenting everything?
Yeah, so what you say is that for each accepted submission, at least one distinct person should register for the meeting.
Per submission?
One per submission, yes, at least.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know how many are going to be doing it, but so far it's looking good.
I'm pleased with the number of submissions, but you do need to work on making sure you get all of the ethically required number of registrations.
Yeah.
People are unethical sometimes.
I'm having my backup plan also. Not to start bringing the people in, but to have enough funds to support the meeting, actually.
Yeah, but still, it's good to have, particularly for the workshops, it's good to have a number of people that will support all the workshops.
Yeah. So on that side, I think there are two in the agenda item. I think there are two things. There is a proposed plant on workshop. I don't know what the plan is on how to do it and who's doing it. I mean, Lol is doing it, so she needs to figure out what are the plans for that. And my other plan was to go back to the similar workshop we did in November and have a follow-up one a week after, or not a week after, but the following Monday. So people can come for attending the ICBO. They learn about what other projects have been doing using ontologies, and then we go back to our plant specific session. Maybe we don't have to do it for all 5 days. We can just do it for 3 days in that case. Yeah.
Yeah. So Pankaj, you're thinking about like the 8th through the 10th or 11th?
Yes.
Okay. So I was wondering maybe if we should send out a survey and see, you know, I could put together kind of a Google survey and see who's interested in coming or who might be able to come.
Yeah, and there's not enough time. There's not enough time. So whichever mechanism works for you, you've been in touch with some of those folks at the meeting in France. And I suggest that go ahead and organize that. It will be on the similar tunes. Expect less input from me. I think I am expecting you guys would take leadership on organizing that.
Right. And so the question is, like, if people come for the week of ICFO, would they be able to stay?
Yes.
Because they would have to stay over the weekend then.
Yes, yes, yes. Go ahead.
And we would pay for that? Or they would have to pay for that?
We can pay for that.
So, Pankaj, I kind of need to know, like, who you've talked to as well.
I've not talked to anybody.
I thought you said that somebody had contacted you.
There was one person from India. He's actually doing rice gene annotations, and he needs a lot of terms, trait terms, that he's encountering by literature data mining. And many of those are not there. So I think it's a good idea to bring that person in, see what they have, where are the deficiencies, and what kind of terms he's looking for, and if you can train him or his partners.
So maybe you could share that email with me, or...
I will share that person, but
I could,
that's only one person.
Like kind of a questionnaire about dates and so on, I could include him on that.
Sure, but that's only one person.
Right,
we need
right.
to find another set of 5-6 people who would come with different targeting target groups. This time I would prefer targeting wheat and corn, if at all possible, and then extend to other crops. Oh, the rice people want to come in, right?
Yeah.
And have the work done.
There was one fellow at the Fino Harmonis meeting that I talked with, his name is Joseph, I can't pronounce his last name, but he's from Africa and he's a Durham wheat breeder, I think. I think he's a
breeder. I would just limit my interaction right now with Simmet Group. That's the major wheat data and wheat traits are them. So target the people who are developing wheat TD and have annotations to the germplasm. I would not just go in and around anywhere else. Just target this large gene bank repositories and the traits and people who are developing TDs.
So like the people from Simmet were interested in having
copy. Yeah. Because if those standards are developed, then everybody else falls into the in that conundrum of following the standards instead of bringing in individual researchers is not productive.
Okay. Because we had been promoting things at the meeting, and then this person was interested, so that's why I was talking with him.
People are interested. A lot of them are interested. The major attraction is also to come to U.S., but you want to deliver on certain goals that we have set forth.
So the people at Simmet would be like Rosemary, Julian,
Kate.
And I would prefer bringing one wheat or corn breeder as well, who knows ins and out. Rosemary is not a corn expert. She's not a maize expert. She's an expert in building vocabularies.
Right. So, Marie, do you know some of the folks there? Who else might be good candidates at Simmet?
Yeah, I think Julian has some experience in breeding, so maybe it would be a good person to have.
I mean, another option might be to do it like Friday, Saturday, Sunday or something, and then because to get people to stay another 3 days before it starts, I don't know.
I'm fine.
Take a little survey and see, you know, and some of these people may not actually want to come to ICBO. I don't know, you know, if.
Look, if they come to this meeting, we will cover their ICBO registration. Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that. That's quite that English.
Either they come before or they after. That's their opportunity.
Okay, so we'll put together kind of a list of names.
Give them the option of days before and then the days after. But I prefer if it is after. Mm-hmm. Then I don't have to worry about managing them before.
Yeah, I think we're going to be pretty busy right before.
Yeah. So I'm fine doing it on Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
I mean, that might be easier in terms of scheduling people. I don't know. So maybe we'll put together a list of names and kind of get a survey out and find out how many people were even, you know, could make it.
Yeah.
And we'll see who else. Maybe Julian and those folks can suggest some other people from that corn or maize group.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we need people to be working on things for a minimum of 3 days.
Right, 3 days.
To have any substantial output coming from that meeting.
Sunday the 7th.
Yeah, because if I remember it correctly, last time, the first and the last days, they were very bare. I mean, first day we were just learning about what other people are doing, and the last day was more or less like a discussion on travel. But it was Tuesday to Thursday was the only more productive days when you actually were on hands-on.
Yeah. I have a conflict with Sunday the 7th, so maybe trying to start on the 8th is better because then we could have a little break too. I don't know.
Can you avoid the conflict?
No. No. No.
Or maybe somebody else can run that show on time.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't, you know, it's not like I can't help, but.
Yeah, Austin can run the show. And if Chris is around, he can do that.
My daughter's coming home from Costa Rica that day, and I'm definitely going and picking her up.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I will be banned from being a good mother. Yeah. She's going on a study abroad again this summer. So the Sunday, the 7th. Is when she's coming home. So anyway, we can sort out the dates. That's good. We'll put together a list and kind of send a survey out to people and get moving on this, because I know everybody's, if they're traveling, they've got to start looking at flights and so on.
And make sure that you have potential hold on the dates for the venue.
Yeah, so that's why we need to get the dates nailed down. Are we thinking of doing it at the same place as we did before?
Yes.
The Alumni Center, right?
Yeah, and you just need one room.
Okay, great. Well, and Elizabeth sent a thing yesterday, an email yesterday, about some people that might be interested in coming to ICBO still. What's that again?
Who is that person coming? Oh. I thought she was asking for Maida Devare.
Maida, yeah.
And for Katarina Carciolo from ICBO.
Yeah, that's fine. All they have to do is submit an abstract.
Yeah.
But are these people that you would be interested in having stay and take part in the workshop?
If they are willing to.
Okay.
But I don't know if Maida would be interested on the agronomy side.
No, but Maida won't be able to stay after the ICBO meeting.
Yeah, I know that because her she has a small kid too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Marie, do you think you could send Elizabeth a message? And I was hoping to get her input on this. Do you think she's going to join us?
I mean, she had to bring her pet to the veterinarian. I don't know. Yeah, for the pet doctor. So, yeah. I don't know where she
yeah. Maybe while you do that, we can just talk about the Pheno Harmonis meeting. Okay. I thought maybe it'd be useful to give a little overview of what all went on there and the things that we did and people that we talked to and so on. So I listed all the different presentations and hands-on sessions that we took part in. Not all of them, of course, because there was quite a number of things. And in the afternoons, things were running concurrently, so the schedule was kind of complicated. So anything is there before we move on, is there anything else about ICBO we need to talk about?
No. What is your plan for your workshop? Who's talking and who's doing it? So if you can figure out and come up with some proposal, that would be fine.
Yeah, so I need to work on that. Is it possible to, okay, well, you say only 12 people have registered so far.
It has nothing to do with the number of people who have registered. First, you figure out how you want to do and who's presenting and who's organizing. You have to engage and have enough number of speakers and discussion panel to run for 2 hours.
2 hours, okay. Yeah, that's definitely
something. And it's we're not discussing Plantium in that. So
No, this is more of a...
Feel free to invite folks. I have not seen any response from the AgBio database group. But those are the folks that are targeted folks who should come and actually look at how ontologies work and present their work, how they are integrating ontologies in their system.
Right. Okay. And so if people, they don't need to submit an abstract or anything like that.
They must, should present an abstract. When they're coming to the meeting, they should come and submit at least an abstract, poster abstract.
A poster abstract. Okay.
Presentation.
So I guess it's worth mentioning that in previous years, the poster abstracts have been published either in the preceding volume or in separate volumes.
So Barry, I'm planning to put everything, all the accepted ones, in the proceedings. I think there are different sections, right?
So, yeah, I think that's the right move. And then also you should talk to the workshop organizers to arrange for any papers presented in the workshops to be included in appendices to the proceeding.
Yeah. And what I will do is, as we finalize or accept all the things, I will start putting, I will open up a bibliography section on the website. So people would start looking at the abstracts and full submissions. as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's a good idea.
Really?
Yeah, so if some of the people are coming to find out what we're talking about,
yeah,
then they may decide that they don't need to come because they can see it online.
No. It will not come right away, only a day before.
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
It should definitely be online at the meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We will try that.
Okay. So, should we go ahead and talk about Phenohormonas then?
Yeah, Elizabeth didn't reply to my text.
Yeah, that's too bad. Darn.
Yeah, and Leo.
His phone is ringing. Okay, so should we talk about the conference in France?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. We put a few notes on the minutes here. There was a very, very involved interactive meeting. We had an oral presentation, a poster presentation, then Austin gave a little talk, a lightning talk about annotating germplasm. And Marie gave a talk about ontology mapping, the mapping work that she's doing. And then I put some notes on here, and Austin filled it in about the little hands-on session that we had in the afternoon on Thursday. I think it might have, maybe it was Wednesday, I can't remember. With some folks that had indicated they might be interested and have data to contribute. So maybe you want to comment on this, Austin, what your feelings were about that session.
I think it was good. I think a lot of people enjoyed it. A lot of people were excited about it. But it was an hour and a half, which I thought was going to be long.
Yeah.
It turned out to be an hour and a half of just getting everyone kind of on the same page. So I tried my best to get this script to work for every like style of data or every like organization of data, so long as there were a few things in place. And even then it was almost impossible to get everyone to that point, to get anyone to that point, including mapping. So Marie was there helping map and Laurel was there helping map. So I think there were some people excited about it, but I don't think it can be one of those things that you just hammer out in an afternoon.
No, I mean, in terms of getting the data done, but at least they got an introduction to it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And from these people, I mean, maybe we should be following up with them and kind of working with them to get their data into the, now that they've come and heard about it. Mm-hmm. We sent out a little like sign up sheet, and some of them wrote on it whether they had data sets they wanted to share or not.
There was a few that had data that they were considering putting on there.
And you guys have been working with Jeffrey, right?
Right, yeah. Jeff and I have been working all week, actually, or all week, all last week, getting the rest of that Grimms data sorted out. So he's giving me the codes for the headers, and Marie is helping me decipher that from the database that they're coming out of. So it's working. It's just a matter of making sure that it's actually doing the right thing. And with 100,000 lines of germplasm, sometimes it can get a little cumbersome to look at. So
yeah,
I want it to be right before I pull the trigger on the rest of it. But Jeff hasn't mapped all of the traits, but he has a fairly good set of them that I'm working on currently. So when those are up, I'll get them tested and they'll go in.
Yeah, and I worked with Trushar while we were there, and he has the IITA database is very nicely set up with a web page where you can download the data, and we were looking at different mappings. And so I think that there's a fairly low bar in terms of getting data from that group as well. I think they just have to get permission, you know, and work with them to obtain it, but it's available on their website.
Mm-hmm.
Nicely organized too. That's the link I sent you, Pankaj, when we were there. And I'm not really sure about the status of the other folks.
Some were there just learning and understanding, and some were there like to get some mapping help from Murray. So not everyone was at the same point. But one thing that I did notice that came up was the difference between like germplasm, like annotating germplasm traits or traits to germplasm is slightly different than annotating measured phenotypes from a specific trial, because often we'll have the same germplasm will be tried in multiple locations or multiple trials or multiple reps, and they have data for that. And so it's up in the air right now whether or not we're putting like, are we putting averages in, like plant height averages, or are we talking about annotations to individual experiments?
So Barry, this is coming out to be a question. I think Chris should be involved a little bit more on this side. That's what he's trying to say, is that sometimes we have the plant and its phenotype annotation, but other times people have used the same seed accession grown at multiple locations, and they are phenotyped and replicates within the same location as well as on different locations as well. So let's say a minimum of X number of plants on the same location to building up a good number of replicate set, and for better multivariate analysis and principal component analysis, and then going on to do it from multiple locations as well, just to make sure that there is less of an effect of environment on that side, to look at stable phenotypes.
So, and the issue is whether we should give people a way to distinguish between annotations to plant traits and annotations to plant populations in location traits.
That is true, but it also depends on the method, whether it was coming, like, say, for an individual plant phenotype, or it was coming from an experiment that was done on a replicative set.
Mm-hmm.
And don't we have ways of distinguishing those things already?
No, gene ontology annotation file format does not address any of these.
This is an old discussion in the gene ontology world, whether the file format should be broken to give people the ability to capture more context information.
Yeah.
And I heard it just a couple of days ago, some news on that front, but I think probably you should indeed talk to Chris Mungall. I think people have started to experiment with ways of annotation outside the fine file format.
Yeah, and I don't think even Go has no means in their annotation file format to say that this mutation phenotype was analyzed based on a replicative set.
No, I don't think so.
It's just one mutation and that's it. That is your confirmation. That is not sufficient, actually, statistically. No. Because traits, you would like to go for more. Because there is a lot of information.
Actually, I remember now where it was being discussed. It was on a protein ontology call. So I think that the person who knows about this is Harold, who is a colleague of Judy Blake's at the Jackson Lab.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know Harold? Shall I send you his email?
Harold Rapkin?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can. I know him.
Yeah, so you should probably talk to him. He has discovered the same problem for annotating to the protein ontology, of the same kind of problem anyway.
Yeah.
He had some news to report.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I will send an email to the Go annotation group as well. That is it. But for the moment, I would just say there is no harm in adding additional piece of information, either in column 16 or create your own new column, which you may just ignore.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll see.
Yeah.
I don't have anything like that right now, but I just noticed that as a repeating theme for some of the people there.
So I would say that there is one common thing between all these replicate sets would be is that the experiment ID is common, or the experiment is common. They are part of the same experiment. Now we are getting into the nitty-gritty of how to manage the germplasm data, and I think the TASL program or the genetic diversity database schema would handle all those kinds of things. If the data needs to flow into this thing, I would the good idea is to limit our side. Most of it to whether this germplasm has this kind of a process associated or a trait associated or not.
So if we had multiple, so the phenotype, having the phenotype score in there is not as important as just.
No, I think you have the evidence codes.
Right.
You can extend that evidence code and create a new one. To say that it was inferred from association to genotype and phenotype, or it was phenotype inferred by phenotype evaluation at multiple locations, inferred by phenotype location using replicate set. Okay. So you can create multiple options there. So that will distinguish whether this annotation is coming from, they're all inferred by phenotype, but from a single plant or from multiple locations or from replicate sets. And it could be multiple options there.
Right, but if would we use the phenotype of the mean, the average of those trials, or what exactly, what goes
in? I think traditionally, if it is a replicate set, you would always go with a mean or a median, whichever you prefer.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think as long as that's, you know, that's kind of where the metadata comes in. It's important to capture that how that was
right.
done.
But the problem here is that you would also sometimes those things would come with the standard deviation, mm-hmm. and there is no mechanism in our set, in our annotation file formats to record what was the standard deviation for that trait for that experiment.
Right, but if they're not annotating to a PO or a CO term anyway, there's no scale either. So sometimes they'll just show up as numbers in there. Unless there's a reference that points to a CO scale or a CO variable, those numbers are just not, they're just floating numbers. They could be anything. They could be a score of, or they could be a centimeter, you know. So
there wouldn't be standard deviation.
So yeah, standard deviation I think is maybe down the list a little bit from what people are interested in.
But this is something which Leo and Elizabeth has discussed, where the standard deviation sit in their TD template.
But what I'm saying is not all people who want to annotate data to the plantium are annotating through a CO variable.
No, they're doing it under TO and just some kind of a value, right?
Right.
Because at some point later down the road, they would have the CO variable because we use the CO variable, but not right now.
Currently, I just have a pointer to it. I have a relationship that says has CO variable, and then I put in the variable.
That's fine, I guess.
So it just shows up as a relationship.
Just show the variable and put in the method that it was coming from a replicate set.
So you want another relationship that has like rep number or...
extension in the column 16, or I don't know where did this extended information go. You can say, can you create something which we always use, average of replicates.
So you want a new relationship that says
that the question is, you can record per replicate, but if there are multiple replicates, then what are you going to do? Right, and yeah. I said that you can do an average, but when you do the average, you still need to tell the user that it was averaged out, right?
Right.
So in that case, the trait would be average plant height or a plant height?
It'd be plant height. I don't think we have any, having averages in a reference is kind of weird.
But. Yeah, but
I can see the
most of the, I would say that majority of the times these traits are actually average, right? Especially for crop plants.
For sure, yes, I agree. Mm-hmm. And that's not currently captured, but it might be safest to just use, like you said, an evidence code, have different evidence codes instead of just inferred from experimental evidence, have evidence codes that mirror things like replication or multi-location mm-hmm. trials or multi-year trial, you know, something like that.
Yep.
Yeah, that might be captured in the variable though.
Yes,
if they're annotated to a variable, a variable.
I don't know, does the variable have...
No, variable does not have that kind of a bigger granularity.
The methods don't encapsulate replicate or
maybe
different location trials?
Yeah, not the replicate, but just if the measurement is done at the plant level or at the population level. So you will know it's a... an average or if it's a unique data point.
So let's give it a try with a couple of rounds using either extended information or put in by creating a new evidence code and see how it looks.
Okay, I don't have any data that has replicates right now, but
you can just create one.
Yeah, or during the your section, Austin, Cécile Grenier. And she brought a data set with replicate.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I haven't followed up. I was going to send an email to that.
I have the data set.
Can you give you the data?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Awesome.
Let me send that to you.
Yeah, if you could send that my way, that would be great. Take a look at it.
It's wonderful, yeah. From SIIT.
Right, yeah, I remember. That's one of the persons that I've
Maybe we should just say hello to Elizabeth. We haven't heard anything from you, Elizabeth, but I see you're on the call there.
Yes, I'm in. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, I'm joining.
You're
listening to your discussion because I realized that the session was quite eye-opening as well for the format of the phenotyping evaluation data. So I'm happy that exchange could be made. And I know that Cécile was very keen to bring her own data sets because we have been discussing with her since January. Someone is typing very...
It's got one of those fancy new keyboards.
Yeah. Elizabeth, at the beginning of the call, which you missed, we were talking about the possibility of having another post-ECHO curator conference.
Sorry.
It's kind of hard to hear with the typing. So Pankaj's comments were that he'd like to maybe focus on people who are involved from CIMMYT with wheat and corn. And I wondered if you had any suggestions on who you think might be appropriate. We thought maybe Julian and Rosemary, but Pankaj was mentioning maybe some maize breeders or a maize breeder would be a good person to involve or a maize data manager.
Maize more than wheat. Because maize, our contact is Kate, and Kate could come. She's a data manager as well, but she's our entry point to CIMMYT. So we should ask her, because in fact we try to have an intermediate between the breeders and us, so it's someone who can be on site with them. Uh-huh. So just right now, I don't know. And are you still looking at evaluation data or GenBank data? Because in CIMMYT, like in other centers. For GenBank data, it's another way of managing data than for breeders. So it depends exactly what data you would like.
And maybe Austin and Pankaj could answer that. The question was evaluation data or GenBank data?
I think all data. Both,
Say it again.
GenBank or evaluation data?
I think we're starting with GenBank currently. But
we're starting with GenBank data and then follow up with the evaluation data. But in any case, evaluation data has to be annotated in standard format to flow in any way.
Because this is not probably the same person.
That is fine. But I think this is what you expect, and you want to have evaluation data coming in to you and to any other center in a standard format too.
Okay. Perhaps we should discuss that with Kate. Problems. She can help identifying someone to do. But most probably, CIMIT will always refer to the data managers, in fact, because they are the contact person for metadata ontologies. So first, I think the best is to ask Kate. And if you really want someone from the scientific team, she can help with that.
Cool.
Okay.
I think you know Kate, isn't it?
Sure, I know Kate, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Rosemary's focus is more on the wheat side, right?
Yes. In fact, the CIMIT decided to have two teams for the data curation, management, and publication, and one is for wheat and one is for maize. But of course, they discuss. So Kate is in charge of maize and Rosemary of wheat. Mm-hmm. That's, yeah.
Okay.
You could also go through the WIT IS, the International Initiative to Get People and Data Sets.
Mm. Right, yeah. There's a lot of people there. Okay, well, so we'll be working on this. And one thing I wanted to ask was, one of the things that was worked on at the Phenoharmonis meeting was the progress on the trait dictionaries. So I was just kind of wondering, what's the status like of wheat and the other ones that are the kind of next ones that are ready to be?
The wheat has been uploaded before the meeting.
Okay, the trait dictionary version 5.
Yeah, and Rosemary shared the validate the mapping during the workshop, so mm-hmm. I will be able to upload the wheat file soon on the Planter GitHub or website.
Yeah.
Did you get the proper file, Marie?
No, not yet.
Okay, because you have to ask her before she's on something else. But yeah.
And Reinhold told me that he had his, I think it was the potato trait dictionary with him.
Yeah, I think they discuss and it's not yet on, but they are working on it, like for sweet potato also. Mm-hmm. They are adding few variables. The currently the crops he has are work progressing well is the rice TD. The wheat is already more or less done. I think it's online. He has a yam banana on his list. I think that's all before he leaves. The rest will be with Julian.
Okay, Julian's gonna take over working.
Yeah. On,
yeah. Great. Yeah, I didn't have maize on the list here, but
no.
And Leo's done at the end of May, right?
Yeah, in a week.
Wow.
In a week, yes, definitely. Yeah. So he's working also on the guidelines. So we hope the guidelines will be clear enough for anyone who wants to progress on a TD to be rather autonomous on the first steps, at least.
Great. Yeah.
So what is your plan on continuing work on TD, or is it just dead?
For the moment, we have Julian, who is still there, who has some crops to finalize, and Marie and I can take some of the TDs, but not perhaps at the level of details that Leo was going, because he was entirely focused on that. So the plan is, for the moment, is this one. It's to bridge until we can find funds to have someone to come back.
So is there a way and mechanism to get it funded through AgriPortal, because they were very interested in hosting CO?
No, they, at the moment they don't have resources, but I've been in discussion around the European proposals, and we are thinking of putting the crop ontology into it, but it's not H2020 proposal is not a given. So it's the most reliable, I think, source of funding for us is the genetic gain platform, which I've been co-writing with Marcel Ribot, and a big data platform that CGIAR tries to put together.
So I believe if he stays for another 6 months, you might make a good progress.
Yeah.
Right?
But Leo is leaving anyway.
He's leaving for the good? He's already decided?
Yeah, he leaves also. He decided because it was made clear to him in February that his contract was terminated, and because we had no
image. Where is he going?
Oh, I don't know for now. I don't know Marie no more, for because the thing is he has also someone, he has a companion, and they need to find a job, both of them. So for the moment, I'd like to make a break to think about what he wants to do exactly for the future.
Can you ask him to contact me?
Yes, you can. But the thing is, you know, he doesn't want to continue on that. He did that for a year. He was very happy. But he would like also to analyze data sets and be more on model development. And he's not a geneticist, so he would much prefer to go on to field data or phenotype data, but not genetics, for sure.
Discuss
that a lot.
If he feels comfortable, you can come and contact me.
Okay. Can tell him. He's in Montpellier until end of June anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Well, I think we're getting down to the end of the hour here, so we probably should wrap up. I think we made some good progress and some good discussions.
Yeah. Sorry for being late.
No, that's no problem. The other comment I wanted to make was, one of the things that I found really interesting at this meeting was the focus on the high throughput phenotyping and all the discussions we had about traits that are evaluated during high throughput phenotyping. It was kind of an eye opener. And we had a really nice visit to the PhenoArch. I was just going to show this picture of the PhenoArch platform. Very interesting to see one of these. I've never seen one of these setups in person, so it was
cool. Yeah, it was a good experience, isn't it?
Yeah, and I thought it was really interesting the way that they explained that it was set up. Was it sort of a French researchers just put in a small, like, one or two page proposal to run an experiment here, and then they come, they have to send a couple people, and they spend about a month there.
Yeah,
and
work with the platform staff.
Yeah. And so there's different crops going through here all the time. It was very, very interesting to see and to see how it's all managed and run. And
the database that Pascal has shown as well. Mm-hmm.
While we were there, there was corn maize plants in the pots, and there was some cotton plants that they had just completed that experiment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So it's a very interesting visit, and to learn about, you know, we spent a lot of time talking about the type of traits that they're evaluating, and I think Austin put a note on here about the high throughput phenotyping. You know, the traits that they're using are kind of calculations and inferences, or like combinations of, they take all these measurements and then they combine those into many different kinds of traits. And so it's sort of a whole different ballpark than what we're using.
I was wondering, Elizabeth, is there a way we can get a sample set data from them?
The thing is, it's a large quantity of data and very diverse. So it depends if you want...
No, I don't want the raw data. I want any analyzed final data, and you can just they can remove the original germplasm ID. I don't need it, but we need to see some mock data, so that we can start planning on how to address the vocabulary standardized needs for that kind of experimental set. And if we don't prepare it now, I think it will be very much difficult later on.
Yeah.
But if you can show something that we are working on addressing this issue, and then it is more positive on making sure that the group and the project continues to get funded, saying that they are in tune with the current trends and progress that is being happening in the high throughput phenotyping area.
So I'm in contact with Astrid. We went on a hike with Leo actually on Saturday, and we had a little chat about that. And she, I think if I asked her, she could definitely get us a sample of her high throughput phenotyping data from her platform. Good. I think it's a different platform.
That it's ITK. Yeah.
That's probably it. Yeah.
But I don't think she would have any problems giving it to us, especially if we didn't ask for. I mean, we're not asking for the succession name. So I'll get an email sent out to her and see if she wants to send
get
it,
her to send us the list of traits, because she was saying she was having.
Yeah, I looked at some of them, and there are some weird ones in there.
Yeah, but that's what we need to see.
Right.
Yeah, and François, I'm not sure if I can pronounce his last name correctly. François Pardieu. He was probably the person to talk to about the PhenoArch data, right?
Yeah, he's the leader.
Yeah, so I could contact him or whatever. Yeah, so very good.
Okay.
I think we should probably wrap up here. Anything else that people have that I see Justin Elser's on the call. Do you have anything you want to share with us, Justin?
No, I'm going to be doing some work on the dev site, so it might be going down randomly today.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You're working on that, like the new browser, the drill down browser, or?
No, the API stuff that, Seth had an update to it, and I need to re-merge it with their version.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, well, I think we should go ahead and wrap up then. Thanks.
Okay, so just a second. For me, if I can share the screen, or if you can open the Murray Angelique's Excel file that you just sent. You want me to share my screen?
Stop sharing. So if you want to share your screen, yep. Let me know if you have a problem and I can do it.
Okay, here's this thing that we are looking at. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, we sure can.
So here's the thing that this particular line, BF14AR001, right, it was in location 1. This is the line that we have. And you see these plots and replicates 1, 2, 3, block. I don't know what that is. Flowering, right? You were looking at the flowering?
Yes.
Plantine. And yield, right?
Yield.
You would be basically, you're looking at the average, right? Average of these things, or if you're looking at a median, right? It's your choice of how you want to do it. I don't know what happened here.
Spelled it wrong. Yeah.
No, it was a wrong spelling. So that's the big difference that you would actually be seeing. So I don't know what is the preferred method. Do they take mean or median most of the time in your community?
I think mean is agreed upon.
Yeah.
Usually. Because mean and standard deviation will explain almost everything about the data.
Mean and standard deviation, I know it's quite classical.
That is the question, Elizabeth. Because standard deviation would not show up in this data. Standard deviation would show up as for the whole experiment or for the trait. So where do you store that information?
Right. Well, I mean, are those single plants that we're looking at? I'm not sure what this is.
Yeah.
Exactly. No, this is, it just says replicate 1, 2, and 3.
But I mean, that could be a single plant replicated 3 times, or that could be 3 plots replicated 3 times.
Yes.
So
I think it's just 3 parts or 3 individual plants.
Yeah, it's one or the other. And in one case, there's going to be separate averages and standard deviations for each plot. Or if they're a single plant, it's just a single data point, and then we can calculate the standard deviation from it.
Yeah.
But we don't know.
No, we don't.
No.
So,
We can see with Leo as well, because they had the session on Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I think what is the Excel file is lacking is some information of what exactly we have in the columns.
Yeah.
We still shared that with the RICE group, so we can get.
So this is RICE.
I think it'd be helpful to have a column in all of our data and all of our everything about the scientific unit or the replicated unit.
Mm-hmm. I would say that in all the files that you are bringing in, there should be a comment out file in the info header, mm-hmm. so that they can describe what they are representing in each column.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thing is, we ask for the data rather late in this.
No, that's fine.
So they just came with what they had, that's all.
That is fine. That's fine.
Yeah. So, when I ask for the data, mainly no one from the isothermal phenotyping platforms proposed to bring data. Okay, so that's why I was checking the result of the survey.
Oh, but, good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, we can probably talk to them and get a dummy data set with, if they don't want to share their germplasm lines, they could just block those out or something. But it'd be interesting to see how those, you know, they're putting these things together.
Okay.
Yeah, we want to keep up with the new things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. That's fine with me. So take a look at it, and if you can get a better file and better data from Astrid, I believe so, and then we can start working towards that goal.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
and if Barry's still on, I would say, can you review my feedback in my email?
Yeah.
Oh, I think you already sent it, right? So.
Yes, I did.
Yeah, okay. I'll take it. Take care of it. Thank you.
Very good.
Okay, good. So, yeah, I guess we'll, okay, you're just going to stop sharing there. Okay, good. So, I think we could wrap up there. Thanks, everybody. Good meeting.
Bye.
Okay, thank you. Yep. Bye.
See you.
Bye.